Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a little anxious, baby, 'cause I know that you're on your way. I haven't seen you in a while now, sugar, but when you get here, I know that things will be okay. I'm in the mood for you. Come over, so I can do something sweet in store. Bath water's red, the candles lit, dinner's cooked, everything is cooked, all for you, baby, and more. I'm in the mood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's right, it's me, your favorite host of Love is Not the Most. My name is Eve Reed, and this is Binge and Rewind. And I just want to say shout out to Veronica Timms, though. Talk about Bay Area born and raised. Let me tell you something. I know Veronica. She is an amazing spirit and an amazing person, and I'm just so proud of her growth. So shout out to her. I had to open up the show, Bay Area style, and, you know, give her some shine real quick, you know what I'm saying? So shout out to Veronica Timms. Make sure y'all check her out on all the podcasting platforms. I'm so used to doing podcasting. So music platforms, okay? Because I know she's definitely on Spotify. So shout out to her. But let me introduce Binge and Rewind to the OG radio community. Binge and Rewind is my brainchild that I've been doing for a few years now, where I just basically critique and review and give my opinions, whether and a little bit of shade every now and then, to the movies and TV shows that I have already watched or I'm currently watching, and if you have any suggestions on what you would like for me to binge and rewind on, please contact me on all the social media platforms, whichever one is easier for you, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. It's all the same name across the board, at symbol, I'm E. Reed, the letter I, M as in Mary, and E. Reed. And yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Now, I must give a disclaimer. I give spoilers, okay? So if you are not a spoiler kind of a person, this might not be it for you. However, I would encourage you to understand that I don't give spoilers to everything, okay? Every now and then, I'll leave some things for you to figure out on your own because it's well worth the experience for some of these TV shows and movies. Oh, apologies. I just want to make sure that I let you guys all know that, okay? And if there are any hiccups throughout this episode, please forgive me and give me some grace, okay? Because it's been a long time since I've been on Blog Talk Radio, and I'm getting back used to the surroundings there are in. Okay, so thank you so much for joining me. And throughout the show, I'm definitely going to be playing some music from some artists that have sent me their music to play. So shout out to Uncle Clean and others that will, well, I call him Uncle Clean. He goes by Dana Rogers. But I will definitely be playing some of those throughout the show. So thank you for joining me. But we're going to get right down to brass tacks, okay? So typically when I do my binge and rewind shows, I always start off with soap operas. Now, before you scrunch up your face and look at me sideways, please understand that I'm a firm believer that art imitates life and life imitates art. You'll hear me say that a lot throughout the course of these shows, okay? Because I definitely believe this. Somebody had to go through it or imagined it for it to be written down and put on paper, for people to put a dialogue to it, for those to act it out and perform it, for us to watch for our pleasure. You see, it all goes together, right? So that's why I like the soap operas, okay? Now, I only watch two of them, Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful. Okay, and those are on CBS Network. Check your local listings, okay, or find it on YouTube if you can. Shout out to Canada for Day Ahead episodes. however, before I even get started on Y&R, let me just answer the number one question that gets asked of me all the time when I talk about this show. Yes, Sir Newman is still alive, okay? He is still alive and kicking, and he is still in control, okay? He is just as gritty and grimy and conniving and manipulative, but yet protective of his family and business as ever before. He has not skipped a beat, okay? So I always start off with those, and then after that, we go through different shows and movies on the list, okay, from different platforms. So I watch things on several different streaming platforms, such as Netflix, Hulu, Peacock. What else is there? Stars Network. Listen, I even have a subscription to, what is it, the Zeus Network, okay? I do enjoy a little bit of Ratchet Reality TV, all right? Shout out to Roland Ray and Bobby Lights. And Natalie Nunn, okay? So, yes. So, all different types of networks. Let me just also add to that, also Amazon Prime. So, let's just say nothing is pretty much off limits, okay? So, and let me give you some more background about the brainchild of Binge and Rewind to everyone who is new to me right now. I am a latchkey kid, okay? That's how I grew up. And I am also an only child. So I had a lot of time on my hands, you know, when my friends couldn't come outside to play. So I watched a lot of TV, you know. So I enjoy the arts of acting and performing and creating stories and bringing them to life and seeing actors own a character and become that character to where it almost blends in with who they are, to where you get lost in the story. I love the cinematography and the direction of the camera angles and how they zoom in and zoom out, the setting and environment that the decorations and the decor is, you know, period pieces, the costumes, the hair, the makeup, the designs, the going with the, you know, the times of back then up into now, up into the modern age. So there's a lot that goes into it. So this is not your superficial type of review content that some may be used to listening to or, watching on YouTube. But we dissect some things. You know, we kind of get into it a little bit. But that's a little bit about me and where Benjamin Wine came from, how long I've been doing it, and what to look forward to. So thank you so much for joining me right now. But let me just get down to the soaps, okay? So Young and the Restless is an hour-long program on CBS on the West Coast. Over here, it comes on at 11 a.m. And right now, the storyline is just understand, no matter when you watch it, no matter how long you have not been watching it, even if you were watching it with your grandmother and you haven't watched it in years, you can watch it right now and pick up right where you left off for the most part. And when I say that, I mean, even though you haven't been watching it, you can kind of pick up on the storylines pretty quick, okay? Comes on daily. It's not that hard, you know? Just kind of put two and two together. Plus, the repetition of the dialogue alone is like, okay, we get it. You're drilling it into the ground. We know this happened. So here are the key moments that what has been happening on Young and the Restless. Okay, Victor Newman's family, all right, they just got out of a big tassel between Victoria and her husband, who is now dead, okay, Ashlyn Locke. That whole debacle is now put to rest. However, there is still something going on because now Nick Newman, her brother, is having a relationship with Sally, okay? Now, here's the thing about Sally Spector used to date Adam and Victoria's other brother, Adam Newman, who is the black sheep of the family, okay? And there's always been this tension because Victor always puts his children against each other, and it's just blossomed even into their adulthood. And now it's just even more damaging than ever before and super toxic. However, when it comes to coming together as a family, that never fades away, like on some real, like, mafia type stuff. So Sally is now caught in between, well, not necessarily caught in between, but she did get caught by Adam with Nick. And she decides to have a conversation with Adam at his request. And Nick leaves the room, and they're having this dialogue where Adam is professing his love for her, and he misses her, and he understands why he broke her heart and why he knows how much that damaged her, but he knows that his intention was not to really hurt her. It was to protect her. He just did it in a roundabout way based on how he was raised by his own father, right? Because Victor does that all the time. Builds him up, tears him down, builds him up, tears him down, and tosses him to the side. So that's all Adam really knows based on his upbringing. So he just pays it forward to other people until he comes across Sally Spector, who is the complete opposite of any woman he's ever encountered, because she stands 10 toes down on anything she does, and she has full methodical intent behind her actions. And they were very tit for tat, yin and yang. They were good for each other. But when he broke her heart and started to manipulate her emotions and gaslight her and make her start to be so involved in wanting to bring them back together and create the life that they had talked about during pillow talking and all these other intimate moments that they had, it started to then get involved in her work life, because she's now the CEO of Newman Media. And she has major responsibilities, and Victoria can't help to have a reason to fire her. And Victor already wants to get rid of Sally. So she's really hanging by a thread here, literally by way of Nick Newman. He's basically her saving grace. And because of that, they have developed this connection. He's super into her and wants to support her, and that's how they get involved, right? So Sally basically tells Adam, like, this is it. I'm done. I'm over it. Like, you need to move on. You need to leave me alone. And she's setting very clear boundaries as to what is to be expected between the two of them whenever they cross each other in Genoa City, because let's just face it, it's a small town. Everybody knows everybody. It's not even like 1 degree of separation. It's like half a degree, you know? So there's that when it comes to the Newmans. That's what's been stirring around over there. Now, when it comes to Kyle, Summer, Diane, and Phyllis, and Jack Abbott, okay? Kyle is planning a second wedding ceremony for Summer because they didn't get to celebrate it with their families in Genoa City. As a collective, they, you know, they had a destination wedding, so some did not, were not able to go due to work and other commitments. So Kyle's planning this beautiful thing for Summer. In the meantime, what's going on in the back, you have Phyllis and Diane, the parents of both Kyle and Summer. Kyle is the son of Diane, and Summer is the daughter of Phyllis. Phyllis and Diane have been nemesis for the longest. Diane faked her death many years ago, and she not just faked her death, but she made it seem like she was murdered. So her son grew up thinking, and the entire town thinking, that she was brutally murdered and she is no longer. And all of a sudden, just recently, like, I don't know, it was maybe even about, like, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months at this point, maybe even six, she's now popped back into Genoa City and has involved herself back into everyone's life and is making amends. And there seems to be some peace on some stormfront. However, when it comes to Phyllis, there is no forgiveness. There is no redemption. Phyllis is just waiting for Diane to poke the mean-spirited head that is just waiting to rear around and really show itself. And it looks like that finally happened because Phyllis confronted Diane, and Diane really showed a different side than what she's been portraying this entire time, all these months. So for those who are not new, I mean, who are not known to who Diane's character is on the show, it looks like this holiday season, we are definitely going to get a taste of that, because I've only been watching the series back again for, my youngest daughter is 7. So yes, so 7 years, like off and on though. Cause there was a little bit of a gap where I was like, nah, I can't do it anymore. I'm taking a break. So yeah. So there you have it when it comes to the Diane and Phyllis situation. And we're going to see what plays out when it comes to Diane actually being ran out of Genoa City, because Phyllis, Nikki Newman, and Ashley Abbott are in cahoots to get her out. And Nikki Newman is actually now in LA to talk to the man who helped Diane escape Genoa City and fake her death and live her best hidden life in Los Angeles. So Nikki is down there talking to Deacon, and we'll see what plays out by the end of the week. So I don't know. I think, honestly, feel like the way that they're writing this storyline is kind of taking too long. They need to, like, speed it up a little bit. And there needs to be the climax moment as to the big explosion on what's going to happen. Like, is Diane going to show her face, and is it going to be shown at the wedding ceremony? Because that would be amazing. You know, it is interesting, though, that we don't hear anything else about another pair of characters on the show and their growing of a family. But we're back over here with Summer and Kyle, who already have a family, celebrate their wedding. And I mean, not celebrate their wedding anniversary. They're going to renew their vows in front of everyone. So it's just interesting how the Bell production company and the writers who are writing the storylines are having these storylines weave in throughout this season, okay? Because the holiday season's coming up, so the storylines are going to shift a little bit for those who are not familiar with the soap opera arena. And then last of all, for a storyline, you have Nate, Devon, Lily, and Billy Abbott, and they have a company called the Chancellor Winners Company. And these set of characters I truly love because they are all melanated people. They are POCs, and I think it's just beautiful to see them all together in this type of a dynamic. You have Amani and Amanda, who are the legal team for Chancellor Winners, and they are the lawyers. And then you have Nate, who used to be a surgeon and decided to give up the medical field to go into the business, the more executive business field. And he has an executive position over there at Chancellor Winters. And then you have Lily, who is the CEO of the company. And you have Devon, who is the co-CEO of the company. So it's a beautiful dynamic. And Billy Abbott comes into play based on the fact that his mom is the one who actually owns Chancellor Industries. And then Chancellor and Winter, they just decided to merge and become one big entity. So it's a beautiful thing. They're in talks right now of going public. Some people are for it. Some people are against it. They're still trying to figure it out. But they had to figure out what they were going to do with Nate, because Nate decided he was going to be like, yeah, deuces, I'm going to go because Devon is not letting me be great. He keeps challenging me on everything I want to do. And I think he's just really irritated about what happened when I slept with his old girlfriend. Mind you, his old girlfriend, mind you, I said old girlfriend, so it's his ex. So the chick that Devon was dating, Elena, at one time, this was many, many moons ago, Devon was dating Elena, Nate was dating Amanda. Devon started hanging out with Amanda, started liking her. Nate started hanging out with Elena because they opened up a hospital clinic to give back to the community and was working real close together, had a one-night stand. So now everybody broke up. Everybody, Nate gets with Elena, and Devon gets with Amanda. So now everybody has gone their separate ways at this point, right? But now they're crossing streams again in a more close capacity, and it seems like old emotions have not been resolved when it comes to Devon, okay? And when Devon and Nate got into a fight, which is what caused Nate to no longer be a surgeon, in the fight, a piece of glass cut his hand and severed one of his nerves, which caused him to not be able to do surgery anymore. So he decided to still stay in the medical field, to be on the more paper pushing side, the, you know, the director side of the hospital. And he just wasn't feeling it anymore and decided to go into executive business. So he just wants to prove himself as being a person, a force to be reckoned with within the business world. And Devon is just like, blocking, you know? So there's that whole dynamic. It's kind of like a who can do it better, who's the boss kind of a situation. But that's what's been going on for Young and the Restless. So if I'm just saying, I think something more spicy will start to happen maybe in the next couple of weeks with all the stuff that's going on between Diane and Phyllis. So we'll see about that, you know? wait, hold on. So I'm going to go ahead and play this next song. Shout out to Winston. He is someone who passed away a few years ago. I used to do podcasting shows with him, and this was a song that he had sent me when we used to network together. So I just want to play this song because I like this one. This is one of my favorites that he has sent me. So I hope you enjoy.
You're a robot. An android, technically.
Treated you like you was my day one. Mistreated you from day one. With you was not about going out all the time. We knew that since day one. You're more in my eyes. so damn fine. Let me sit you down and ask how your day was. Maybe we could talk about something, something that everybody else is discussing. That would be a waste of time, but I'm just trying to alter your mind. Let me settle down and let you decide. Maybe we could hang out sometime. Maybe you could be mine. Maybe you could meet my mama. Maybe you could meet my father. Or maybe I could change your life. Or maybe I could go Jamaican. But I don't want to do it if I say that. Me if I chill, I think if I say that. Every minute, every hour.
Every minute,
yeah.
Every hour.
Wanna show you how I make this thing right. Soon as you get out the shower, let's talk, baby. Tell me, was your day as exciting? Girl, cause I wanna know. Heard somebody got struck by lightning. Then I thought about you, that's frightening. I don't really know what it is, but your name, it excites me. Maybe we can be more than a night, yeah. Maybe we could be in love for life, yeah, yeah. Maybe gotta me love you a long time, yeah. Yeah, me love you a long time, yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm back. Man, shout out to Winston, though. Okay, so, Bold and the Beautiful. Right, also on CBS. Comes on in the afternoon. Check your local listings. 30-minute program. Not really too much going on to tell you. So this will be very, very quick. Bold and the Beautiful is basically two big families similar to over there on YNR, but on B&B you have the Forresters and you have the Logans, and they have always been at odds, always. And right now the what's being fought over is Ridge Forrester's attention, and Ridge Forrester is currently married to Hope Logan, and I'm sorry, not Hope Logan, Brooke Logan. Hope Logan is Brooke's daughter. Okay, and Ridge's daughter by Taylor is Steffi. Now, Steffi and Hope Logan have always been at odds, being the offspring of their parents, okay? Their mothers have always been at odds. So the generational curse has just continued on. Hopefully, it doesn't continue with Hope and Steffi's kids because they both have girls. So hopefully they do not continue this, but it's a soap opera series. It just will probably continue on to keep it going. But when it comes to Ridge's affection, now there was a moment in time where Brooke decided that she was going to have a slip moment in her sobriety on New Year's, okay, and she kissed Deacon Sharp. Yes, the same Deacon that from YNR Nikki went to go visit down in LA. Same person. So Deacon and Brooke is known as the slut of the valley. All right. She is known as the slut of the valley. And that is because she always finds some way to fall in the arms of another man or on the lips of another man. It just never fails. Right. And that's what Taylor is trying to get across the ridge. Like, listen, she is toxic for you. Every time you forgive her and give her a chance, all she does is break your heart. Now, mind you, Taylor is not being conniving to a biased degree. She's just trying to be fair. I will give her that. I will give her that in the situation. Whereas Brooke is just flown out the window and just been like, you know what? Like, they are totally just wanting it to be us versus them, and I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to deal with it. Like, Brooke has this takeover spirit that we see in a lot of people. Just think about it. Have you ever been around someone and they only get, like, a little piece of information and they just jump to a whole bunch of conclusions? And no matter what you tell them, they don't believe it. They just want to believe what they want to believe and go off of that and make a fool out of themselves and just be saying any old kind of thing. That's Brooke. That is Brooke. See, art imitates life. So when it comes to what Brooke is doing, she's not only got her issues when it comes to Ridge, but she's also dipping her nose in the business of the situation between Hope and Thomas when it comes to the son that they share together. Now, mind you, Hope is not the biological mother. The biological mother passed away from a terminal illness. And during the time where Thomas was, you know, off his rocker a little bit and needed some serious medical attention, you know, he requested that Hope become his legal guardian and be his adoptive mother. And she has no problem with that. And she actually follows through and she does that. So their son that they share custody of has been living with Hope all this time. And now that Thomas has got his life together, you know, he's back at Forrester Creations. He's been designing new dresses. He's been on his best behavior. You know, he has been showing up. And when it's time to spend time with this, he shows up for that little boy. And all he's requesting of Hope is, I want more time with my kid. I want my kid to live with me. And Hope wants to do it, but she doesn't want to put their son Douglas in the middle of anything that is going to cause him more trauma, which is a good thing. It's a positive thing, but she has to relinquish the control that she is trying to have over this boy, because that is his father. So, again, art imitating life. How many people do you know that are going through a custody battle where one is trying to hold over the head of the other of their past, because it's all one is remembering the other parent for is of their past, even though they have shown time and time again that their past is exactly that, old news, and they're a new person. And that is the situation that's happening right now when it comes to Hope, Thomas, and Douglas. And Brooke is just so adamant and putting her foot down, like, you will not get that boy. You will not get that man. Like, the Foresters will not win over the Logans. And all that's going to happen is, this is what I'm predicting. Brooke is going to end up pushing away Ridge because she's going to go too far. Ridge is going to end up deciding not to be with her anymore, and he's going to go end up with Taylor. But he won't really be with Taylor, like, on a more serious moment, because she's just like a safe space. She's a comfort zone. She's just something familiar, because he honestly believes that Brooke is his destiny. Like I said, toxic, damaging, crazy. So how many people do you know in toxic relationships? They should not be together. They just shouldn't. But yet and still, they are. Now, it's not to say Ridge is a golden boy and hasn't cheated. I mean, for goodness sakes, he slept with his dad's wife, okay? So I'm not saying he is a golden boy by any means. It's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that he needs to make a decision, because he got one foot over here and one foot over there, and he needs to do something. And if not for anything else, for us audience members, so we can stop listening to Steffi repeat the same 15 words that she's been repeating for the last 2 weeks. Okay? And when I say 15 words, I'm it's give or take, because they are the same words. They're just jumbled around in different ways. But it's with the same intent. It's with the same meaning. Like, it's just, okay, we get it. You want your parents to get back together. Okay, we get it. Like, let them do their thing. You know what I'm saying? Just focus on your family. Your husband is alive, okay? His mom did not kill him, all right? That's a whole nother debacle, because Steffi's husband, Finn, all right? Mama is Sheila. Sheila is definitely the villain of all villains, I feel like, for this series. And she is out of this world crazy, because in order to escape being arrested again, but still creeping around on a stalker level, this woman, Sheila, decided that she was going to run away from the law through the Hollywood Hills and cut off her toe, all right? This is how stupid this sounds, okay? And this is what the writers wrote. The writers wrote this for the storyline for Sheila. She ran into the Hollywood Hills. She cut off her toe, all right? And she left it in the woods with some bloody clothes and, you know, some strands of hair or whatever. To have the police really believe that she was mauled by a bear. Only for the police to come tell the Logans and the Foresters with a petri dish in his pocket. The detective says, Sheila Carter is dead. And just for proof to show you, here's her toe. Who's carrying a toe in a petri dish in their pocket? Who does that? Nobody. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? That's either here or there. Although that happened, it didn't happen, because Sheila is alive and well. She's creeping around to the point where she is super stalkerish, going over to Steffi and Finn's Malibu house, and creeps into their house to hold her grandson while Finn is in the other room on a doctor's call. Like, I was just waiting for Sheila to get caught. And of course, she doesn't get caught. So I really need them to hurry up to figure out what are they going to do with Sheila. Because here's the thing about these soap opera shows and their writings sometimes with these storylines. These storylines can go for like 18 months. 18 months, like a year and a half for a storyline. That's a little bit much. As I mean, mind you, it's an ongoing show, but it's just like, oh my goodness. And I feel like what only really makes it 18 months is because there's all these filler episodes with repetitive conversation, to where if you really just skipped 10 to 15 to 20 seconds of of the show, you're not going to miss any information because they're saying the same thing. If there was anything I could change about soap operas, specifically these two, because I don't watch anything else of daytime soaps, it would be that. Definitely be that. So I feel like there's definitely a song. There's definitely a song that I want to play that I feel like is kind of fitting for this show. And it's, let me just tell y'all, it's called Juicy. And it's not the Juicy that we all think it is. It's not that one. It's not that one. It's not that one. I promise you, it's not that one. But it's by a man named Devon Andrews. And I have a show that Bold and the Beautiful definitely is. And when I come back after the song, I'm going to talk about a movie that is out in the theaters right now. I strongly encourage everyone to go see it. Please, everyone, to go see this movie. And I will give you my reasons why. I know there's a lot of controversy about this film, which is why I definitely want to touch bases on it And if you haven't seen it, or if you were thinking about not going to support it, go support it. I know we can wait till it streams on, you know, the streaming services, or we can use those links to, you know, quote unquote, watch at home. You know what I mean? But this one right here, this one hit different. And you can listen, you don't want to pay $15, $20 to go to movies? Go, if you can, go to the first show. It's $10. There's a way around it. So I'm going to play this, Juicy by Devon, and then I'll come back and tell you about the movie, and then we'll close out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
fell, fell, fell this way.